The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zabin, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. A lot to discuss. The initial tweet came in the last half hour that the Bears have reportedly signed the former Kansas City defensive end Jay Howard. It was followed by a tweet from Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long that featured one of those smiley face emojis and a key emoji. So this is a pretty big guy in terms of the mix, according to the locker room, as the Bears go forward heading into the 2017 season. For those that don't know, Jay Howard is 6'1", 300-plus pounds. He's 28 years old, played just five games last year before being put on injured reserve with a hip flexor. But Pro Football Focus had him rated as the second highest run stopper for a defensive end per percentage in a 3-4 defense. That's a big deal for a Bears defense that was 27th against the run last year, giving up nearly 122 rushing yards per game. So, Tom, what's your first thought when you hear about this move?
Well, a size contribution to the defensive line. You know, last year, I think we all had a great impression left on in our minds of the ability of Akeem Hicks to play at the size he does, and his versatility up and down the line of scrimmage. Now, if you can include a healthy Eddie Goldman in the mix, and now you bring in Jay Howard, that's significant size on the defensive line, Zach. And then for the ability for Vic Fangio to change the fronts, not having to change personnel. Now you bring a 300-pound defensive end that's playing over an offensive tackle. You reduce him down, and now he's playing over to the offensive guard. And he can match up size and strength advantages to his benefit. And it really will benefit the defense overall. You think of the outside linebackers and Willie Young and Pernell McPhee and Leonard Floyd and Sam Acho and the gang playing to the outsides of these big defensive ends. Because now if you're going to concentrate a double team by offensive linemen and tight ends, they have to go to where the size is, and that's at that defensive end position. It may give more single blocks to the rushers of McPhee and Willie Young and the crew.
And Jim, when he was healthy a couple of years ago, in 2015, Howard had 5.5 sacks in 14 starts, so he also has the ability to get after the passer.
Yeah, he's got pass rush ability, and I think it's the versatility that Tom was just talking about. He can kick down at times. He would play the nose tackle position on third downs for Kansas City, and he'd be a pass rusher, and they'd take out big Don Terry Poe at that point. So good athlete, and I think that probably could be the role for the Bears. Let's say if they take Goldman out of the game and then they kick Howard in, it'd be kind of a third down, again, the NASCAR package, but yet you still got the beefy size from a player that Howard brings to the table.
Tom Thayer is here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access. We're going to open up the next hour to you at 312-644-6767. Going to take your phone calls throughout the show again. 312-644-6767. And the reason is there's so much to discuss, guys, based on the way the draft unfolded for the Bears. Clearly, the number one story in the National Football League coming out of the draft was the Bears' big decision to make the move up to number two and draft Mitchell Trubisky after the big trade with San Francisco. And the reaction to that has been discussed ad nauseum. But this is the deal now. I think it's how do you get these players to become successful? And I think that's what I'm interested in beginning now. Rookie minicamp is next weekend. And Jim, when you specifically look at the quarterback position and the other offensive players that the Bears drafted, the tight end in Adam Shaheen, the young running back in Tariq Cohen, what's the best way, based on your history in the league and when you look at teams that have done this successfully, to give Mitchell Trubisky a roadmap for success so that when he eventually gets his opportunity, he can succeed?
Well, I think for most, normally John Fox, the head coach, is going to get up in front of the whole team and explain his mission statement, what they want to be, the vision of the team. Because these are leadership positions, right? We're talking quarterback. They're all new in the building. So they need to give the mission statement of what they're looking to accomplish, both on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball for the players on the team, because there's a lot of new faces that you've got to introduce to what's been really been laid, the foundation that's been laid over the past couple of years. And then Dow Loggins, he's going to get up there, and it'll be defense goes in their meeting room, offense will go in their meeting room, and he gives the mission statement of what he expects the offense to achieve, what they want to be, the vision that he has. And I think we already know. It's running the football. It's smash mouth. It's play action. More productivity in the passing game and scoring more points are going to be the goals for the Chicago Bears. Then you break up from that group. Everybody goes to their individual rooms. And then Dow Loggins and Dave Ragone are going to get in with the quarterbacks. This is what we need from the position. Ball security. Here's what we're looking for. And then you start to specifically get into all the plays and how you want each play run and how you want each progression read. And then you talk in situations all the time when you go through these plays, it's when they're run at certain points of the field. And that goes for everything. It goes from how they want the four-minute offense run, how they want their two-minute offense run, say if there's a no-huddle incorporated into their offense, how they want that run by the quarterbacks and what's expected in each of these situations and what they want done. First and second down package, your third down shotgun package, all those things will be discussed. And here's the reason why. Everything has to be covered with a fine-tooth comb, okay? Nothing can be assumed, right? Just because Mike Glennon was well-coached down there at by Dirk Cutter in Tampa, the Bears can't assume that he knows everything. All right? Oh, we figured, yeah, we thought you'd call timeout after that. Well, if it's not covered, then don't assume that. You've got to coach the players exactly how you want them to react in every situation you're putting them in. And if they can't do it, then you've got to take it upon yourself as a coach to control those situations. So, you know, it's a lot of information. It'll be, you know, there's two ways of doing it where you can give the players the whole enchilada and they've got to digest it all, or you just give them the offense in bits and pieces, like I said. All right, guys, today we're going to focus on no-huddle offense. The whole practice is going to be no-huddle. Here are the plays, and you introduce, and then you kind of piecemeal it from then on, and that goes with base offense, shotgun, third down, first and second down, two-minute, four-minute, all the things that I talked about. And so I've seen it done both ways by coaches and how that information is disseminated to the players and how they want it run exactly. To their liking.
Tom, when you look at teams that have successfully groomed young quarterbacks, which teams stand out in that department that if you're John Fox and Dow Loggins, you can look to and say, if we do it this way, we give our guys the best chance to have success in this league?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, back in our generation, it's either Don Shula and growing Dan Marino or Bill Walsh and growing Joe Montana into Steve Young. But I think every situation is different just because it involves a supporting cast, it involves the whole team development. I think initially when you bring in just the rookies for rookie minicamp, it's a different intensity. It's a different type of pressure because you don't have the veterans breathing down their neck. You know, like Jim said, nobody in the room knows anything initially. Everything that's being introduced to these rookies is for the first time. There's nobody coming in here with experiences that are with the Chicago Bears that are going to allow them the upper hand in terms of knowledge. So it is. It's like your first day of football in Pop Warner that's going to introduce you to what your expectations are going to be moving forward. And then down the road when the veterans are involved, it's going to create such an intensity, it's going to be like you've never learned anything yet.
We'll take your phone calls coming up next at 312-644-6767. And there have been some uniform changes that are taking place at Hallis Hall. We'll fill you in next. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. This week, an encore edition of Inside the Bears. Go back to school with running back Jordan Howard and his high school coach. Spice Adams crashes a Bears fan cave, plus the art of special teams explained by two of the Bears' best, Sherrick McManus and Josh Bellamy. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app at any time. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and you. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We want to take your phone calls throughout the hour because there is a lot to discuss after all the moves that the Bears have made over the past week. We go out to the phones. Avondale, Tom, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I wasn't a huge fan of the move. My biggest question is this. You know, I know the NFL is a numbers game, and it seems like there's not enough reps to go around for Glennon to prepare to become the starting quarterback and do everything he needs to do, learning a new offense, and at the same time develop Trubisky, you know, in the way that you would want to for a young quarterback. I'm wondering if that's accurate, or, you know, if there's enough reps to go around to balance those two.
I personally think there's enough. I've been in three-way competitions. That doesn't work. You know, when I was in Pittsburgh, it was me, Mike Tomczak, and Cordell Stewart, and I think Bill Cowher even recognized that that didn't work. At some point, you got to narrow it down to two guys. So I think for Mitchell Trubisky, certainly Mike Glennon is going to get the bulk of the reps. All right, Mitchell will probably get the, you know, I'd say it'd probably be about 70-30 or 60-40. Is how I think it'll be broken up. Glennon will get the bulk. To me, Mark Sanchez needs very few. And here's why I say this. Because he's been around the league enough. He's got more starts than any quarterback on the Bears roster. He should need a minimal amount of reps to be ready to play at a moment's notice when you look at Mark Sanchez. So, again, in terms of introducing it, you know, everything that needs to be taught here, Mitchell Trubisky will watch those guys probably early in practices, and you kind of just emulate, do what they do, follow, hey, how's their snap count, how are they in the huddle, call the play like they do it, because you want it to be uniform with all your quarterbacks. He brings different attributes to the table than, say, Mike Glennon, but, you know, we want that everything uniform with all your quarterbacks, and those you know, offensive linemen, as Tom will attest to, are creatures of habit, and the offense is a kind of a creature of habit, so you want it all to be uniformly the same in how that the plays are disseminated in the huddle.
Hey, Jim, do you think, though, this is a little bit different than the competition that you talk about being involved in Pittsburgh? Because this isn't really a competition.
Right.
It's more getting Glennon ready to be the starter, getting Trubisky involved in the NFL quarterback life, and then you have Sanchez and Connor Snow. Is that his name?
Connor Shaw
behind him, you know, trying to get their reps. But when you break the training camp field down and you have drills going at each end of the field, you need more than one quarterback. You need four quarterbacks to be involved in the number of reps that these guys are going to be getting when you have a 9-on-7 going opposite of a 7-on-7, or you have 1-on-1s going in different portions of the field. So you're going to be able to get reps that are going to be able to prepare you in your evaluation of your specific techniques. But when you're talking about having an 11-on-11 period against your own defense, that's when Glennon will get a majority of the reps, and the other guys will have to do some visual preparation or off to the side before or after practice.
No, that's a good point, because that's probably how it will be broken out. Glennon will be with the first team a majority. You know, let's say if Glennon gets 10 reps, maybe Mitchell Trubisky in the team period gets 2 or 3. Is how I would see it breaking down. But you bring up all good points, because when you're, you know, for the listeners out there, when you're at training camp, certainly every position group is at different parts of the field. They're all doing their drills and their techniques and all that. But at some points, you have times where you come together. Say if it's one-on-one drills where receivers and DBs go against each other. Now Mitchell Trubisky can work on his footwork on a 3 or 5 or 7 step drop when maybe Mike Glennon is down there working inside run. And then the next day it flips where you work on all those mechanics and techniques in all those different drills that you go to. And it's a fair point that this is not a competition. Glennon is the starter, period, the end. And we've even said the last Bears All Access, even if Trubisky is not ready 2 years from now, that's fine, folks. That's fine. Don't put him on the field until he is prepared and ready to play. Okay, and hopefully Mike Glennon, from that standpoint, he doesn't view it as a slight or cheated on, like the quote said that they drafted Mitchell Trubisky. Mike Glennon needs to think about being the starter this year. He has to perform. He should not be looking over his shoulder at Mitchell Trubisky because Trubisky's not ready. Mike Glennon needs to prove he can be an every down, every Sunday starter in the National Football League. Now, whether that's for the Bears for the long haul or whether that's for another team, that will be decided this year by Mike Glennon's play. So he needs to focus on that, and Trubisky needs to challenge himself to get better every single day when and if that opportunity ever arrives for him to be the franchise of the Chicago Bears when he's called upon to do so.
312-644-6767, the phone number here on Bears All Access. We'll go right to the phones in just a sec. But, you know, listening to Jim talk, and this is where it gets interesting, because I know what Ryan Pace emphatically said last weekend, which is Mike Glennon, hands down, the 2017 starting quarterback for the Bears. It's his team, and they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that Mitchell Trubisky develops the right way. And it took Aaron Rodgers 3 years to see the field in Green Bay. And when he did, because they developed him correctly, you see what's transpired with the Packers. But I know there are a lot of fans out there, Jim, that are thinking, well, I watched Marcus Mariota go from a spread offense in Oregon to an immediate starter in Tennessee. I watched Carson Wentz beat out Sam Bradford and Chase Daniel for the starting quarterback job in his rookie season. Is it possible that Trubisky could do something like that?
Well, it's different, though, because those guys both come with a lot of starts. You know, again, we're talking about 13 for Trubisky. You know, and just something small, and I know I've beat on this, just something like a hard count that we know he didn't know what it was when John Gruden. He needs to be taught that. He needs to be taught the hard count. So it's kind of like baby steps right now. Now, if he develops quicker than expected, great. Because that's why I think Howie Roseman and the Eagles, they surrounded themselves with all those quarterbacks. And then when they drafted Wentz, believing he was going to be a franchise guy, and then kind of proving it through training camp that, hey, this guy's further along than we expected. He's ready. You know, and then they threw him in there, and he played extremely well as a rookie. And Marcus Mariota, I would say the same thing. I think they geared some things differently in that offense for Marcus Mariota because of his skill sets. But again, he was ahead of the curve with a lot of starts. And that may reveal itself for Mitchell Trubisky. It was interesting when I talked to him the other day, or when we talked to him, I think he is a quick study. I think he's a pretty sharp kid that picks things up really quickly, because that's a big part of it. When teams feel that strongly about a quarterback, you have to have the ability to recall, because your ability to do that at the quarterback position is essential. You know, it could be a blitz that you saw 5 games ago. Oh, they're doing that blitz. Granted, it's a different team, but I've already seen that blitz, and this is how we gutted it. And I think Trubisky did very well from that aspect.
Yeah, you can tell he's
up to the draft.
Yeah, you can tell he's a football junkie just from having a conversation with him. And his life's been football. His parents met at a flag football game, and he's named Mitchell because there was a watering hole in Akron, Ohio that they used to frequent after those games, named Mitchell's, and that's how he got his name. 312-644-6767. Out to the phones we go. Jimmy's in the car, and Jimmy, you're on Bears All Access.
Yeah, listen, thanks for taking the call. You know, for all the comments that Pace has made, the justifications and the reasoning and everything else, the one thing I haven't heard, and I still haven't heard, and I think it's a little too late right now, is the separation of him and Trubisky and telling the fans and the base not to blame Trubisky for his move. Give the guy a chance. We believe in him. But don't blame Trubisky for being the moves that I made. And it really leaves him out there. And I think it's unwarranted, unjustified. And I don't know why he hasn't made that distinction to the fan base, even though it's known. But the correlation is there. And unless he says it and gives this guy some breathing space, Trubisky, I think he's doing him a disservice.
But do you think that a comment like that could be made after he goes to the Bulls game and he gets booed by the Bulls crowd? So what I think he's trying to do is relieve some of the pressure off of him, going, look, give this guy an opportunity to succeed. Because when you put him out there at a Bulls game and he gets booed by the crowd, it's kind of unfair to Mitchell because he's never been in, he's never taken one snap yet for the Bears. Let it give the fans and give the whole organization a chance for him to go out there, compete, give him a chance to show his dedication and his professionalism. And then if it doesn't work, then hey, we see people getting booed all over the country in professional sports. But I think it's right now of just give him an opportunity to put on a new jersey and a helmet, get some video of him, get a better understanding what is going to be expected from him in the long run. And then, you know, if that's the case, it's happened to a lot of other people before, but I think it's just given him a fair shot to succeed.
I think that you know what Ryan Pace thinks of Mitchell Trubisky by the fact that he made the trade to go up to number two and acquire him. That bold move doesn't mean it's going to work out, but you know right away what he thinks of him. And in terms of the National Football League, I think fans, especially in this city that's home to one of the charter franchises of the National Football League, guys are sophisticated enough. Fans know that they're running different offenses in college. It takes a little bit of time. And if you're going to develop one of these quarterbacks, you got to do it the right way. And all you have to do is look at your top rival up north. They did it the right way. And look how it worked out. Not saying that he's going to be Aaron Rodgers, but they believe this guy can be an elite-level quarterback. And they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that the infrastructure is in place for him to succeed. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More of your phone calls next. 312-644-6767. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. Zach Sedman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you here on another live edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. We're taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. The big news today coming down in the last hours that the Bears have reportedly signed former Kansas City defensive end and Jay Howard to a one-year deal, still waiting for the official announcement from the team. But there's a lot to discuss after the Bears' big draft weekend, and how do you make this thing work? That's kind of what we're talking about going forward here, and there are a lot of different pieces that the Bears are trying to put together in 2017 to create the kind of infrastructure necessary for these young players to succeed going forward. 312-644-6767 is the number. Out to the phones we go. Merrillville, Jim, you're on Bears All Access.
Howdy ho, fellas. I haven't talked to you since last year.
Well, it's good to talk to you.
In the big scheme of things, team-wise, they talk about free agents, drafting undrafted free agents, but there's one thing that nobody seems to talk about. Are there 19 other players that are on the team that nobody talks about? All the ones that were on IR last year.
Well, that's a good point. You know, I think when you look at guys like Danny Trevathan, who's got to get back in the mix, Hronis Grasu, Zach Miller on injured reserve, all those guys are going to add to the competitiveness of this football team. But it's every one of these guys have to have a healthy season. They have high expectations from them. Kevin White is probably the most interesting to the Bears fans right now because they give the largest contribution to a position, especially when they lost Alshon Jeffrey. But, Jim, you bring up a good point. Is last year at the end of the season, you saw a lot of players that may not get an opportunity to be on the NFL field if it wasn't for an injury, but these guys that are going to rebound from an injury-plagued season, they got to come back and they have to have, some of them have to have career years. Some of them have to show they're worthy of an NFL opportunity. And then you have a guy like Leonard Floyd, who was injured at the end of the season, but you have to see a commitment to the offseason where he is a player that's gaining some strength and gaining some weight and starting to be, the player that and where they picked him.
You know, Jim, the thing that stands out to me is the Bears have been very active in terms of bringing in either free agent guards. They drafted Jordan Morgan. Is that protecting themselves throughout the offseason while Kyle Long comes back from a serious injury, Hronis Grasu comes back from a serious injury, to make sure that there's enough there so these guys don't have to rush back, and when they're right, they'll be back in the lineup?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, and certainly everybody expects Kyle Long, and he'll be a pro's pro and do everything he can to get back on the field as quickly as he can. But these are significant injuries, right? You break your ankle, you got a torn labrum. I mean, all those things factor in, and I think it's also a function of Dallas. Look at Dallas's offensive line. I mean, those guys are sick at how they're just running all over everybody, and the Bears showed pretty well last year. The best way to help a quarterback out and to really shorten the game and help your defense and all these things that need to be corrected for the Bears is to have the ability to run the football. Clock management, all those things, but now they need to branch out and get better at other areas. Red zone scoring, which kept the Bears down. What was their offensive average? I think 17 points a game was the most. That's
yeah,
just
under
not
17
good
and a half points per game, which was
it's brutal.
Yeah, tied for fourth worst in the National Football League. But I think a couple of things stand out to me in regards to that department. One, just in talking to Jordan Howard coming off that Pro Bowl season,
yeah,
and guys,
great.
We've spoken to him about how he has taken the onus this offseason to get himself in the kind of shape necessary to be able to handle the full load, which he couldn't last year because he was coming off an injury, and he admitted that he wasn't ready to be the bell cow, and I think they couldn't use him probably as much as they wanted to. And the other thing is what Ryan Pace said at the scouting combine, and I still think it holds true. Pace believes that the strength of the Bears' offense is the middle, the interior of that offensive line, and when those guys are healthy, then the Bears can do things in terms of running the football and protecting the quarterback to create the kind of offense they need.
You know, Zach, though, let's not forget about Jeremy Langford, because we want to put a lot of responsibility on Jordan Howard. He has the opportunity to be the leading rusher in the NFL, and he probably would have last year. But you still need the contribution by Jeremy Langford that we saw out of his rookie year. And he did had a high ankle sprain, and it did affect him throughout the entire season and probably lingered into a little bit of the offseason. But, you know, I do think that's still a committee position where you need both assets to be equally, you know, strong before first, second, and third down. So, yeah, you know, the interior with Cody Whitehair, thankfully he was able to move over within week one. But, you know, last year when some of the best games that were played on the interior was with Eric Kush and Ted Larson. Yeah. Ted Larson's now gone to the Miami Dolphins. They did re-sign Eric Kush. So you need some stability on the interior. You need Josh Sitton to stay healthy. He had ankle problems. We all know what happened to Kyle Long. Hronis Grisou hurt his knee in the preseason. So it can be the strength of this team, and it should be with experience and strength. But again, you need healthy seasons, and hopefully, you know, when Jim Miller brought up the Dallas offensive line, you're talking about five guys that started the 16 games. That's what you're searching for the Bears.
Yeah, and it has to be like that, because think of Dallas, like I just said. Nobody wants a rookie quarterback to be throwing 40 times a game. Dak Prescott wouldn't have played that great. He had Ezekiel Elliott and a really good offensive line that was number one in the National Football League running the rock. And I think the Bears were right there at number two. When you look at Jordan Howard, he ran the ball extremely effectively, finished second in rushing to a guy like Ezekiel Elliott. Nobody right now, for Mike Glennon to be asked to be a first-year starter, no Bear in their right mind, Bear fan, or anybody in that building of Hallis Hall, thinks that Mike Glennon should be chucking the ball 50 times a game. Is that going to get you victories? Is it going to get you three more than you had last year? No. So it has to be a plan. This has been well thought out by John Fox, Ryan Pace. Let's build up the trenches on both offense and defense. Let's get a guy who doesn't have to be Superman at the quarterback spot, and we're going to bruise some people around. And we're going to push and run the football, stop the run, play tough, hard-nosed football, manage the game, play smart. And when you do that, you can win a lot of games if you don't turn it over. And I think Glennon will have the opportunity to prove that while they wait patiently for the long-term answer in Mitchell Trubisky to be ready when he can be inserted into the lineup.
312-644-6767. Back out to the phones we go. Wayne in Pontiac, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys, love the show. Listen to it every week. Again, I'm trying to still Jim kind of was just speaking about this, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around why we picked a QB Trubisky this high in this draft when we needed to fill more holes on the team and I know there's supposed to be more better quality quarterbacks coming out next year. Why not get a quarterback next year and just build a team up more this year and then wait for a QB next draft? So that's basically my question. You want to get your opinion. Appreciate it. Go Bears. Thanks.
You got it. Well, I think they feel this is the long-term answer, right? Bears quarterback's been kind of a revolving door. Went through three guys last year. Actually, four guys if you count Shaw. He broke his ankle in preseason. Otherwise, he would have got an opportunity to play. They're trying to address that position because if you don't have one, you're not going to win. And I think that's all this is. So it's easy to say, oh, we'll just wait till next year. There's no guarantee you're going to get Sam Darnold from USC, right? I know for a fact Cleveland wanted Trubisky. They lost out. The Bears beat them to the punch, period, the end. So there's no guarantee next year that the Bears and Ryan Pace are in the war room. Oh, yeah, we'll just trade up and get Sam Darnold from USC. There's no guarantee in that. Plus, you don't even know where the Bears will be positioned in the draft if they have to give up draft picks. So I think, you know, they feel they got their guy, and they were confident in doing it. That's why there was no hesitation. People can complain that was too much compensation to trade up for him. I don't think so. I don't think it was. It wasn't even remotely a lot of compensation.
Hey, here's the deal, Jim. If Ryan Pace, and clearly he had conviction in regards to this player, he felt that this guy is the answer to the Bears' quarterback problems, that if developed properly, he can be the elite-level quarterback that the Bears have been searching for forever, right? So,
well, right. Zach, you know, you bring up a good point because before the draft took place, they had an article about the number one person drafted at their position for the entirety of a team, an organization. Bears have been around since 1920. The number one quarterback they voted on was Sid Luckman. So you're talking about, for the Bears fans that we've always been so disgruntled about, you know, trying to get that number one quarterback, trying to get that franchise quarterback. Well, this is what Ryan Pace is trying to do. And so now if it all pans out in the long run like he envisions, then you're going to have someone else to come and talk about at that quarterback position. Right. When you talk about Sid Luckman and Jim McMahon, you know, that's since 1920, it's a shame that those are the only quarterbacks we talk about in the history of the team. And I know there's other ones that have come along the way, but when you talk about Sid Luckman being the number one at the position, you know, that's quite a few years ago.
Yeah, it's a good point. And last but not least, if Mike Glennon plays out of his mind and plays great, Sam Bradford just got traded for a first and a fourth. The Bears could be sitting on a gold mine right there where they can recoup all kinds of things potentially next year if they feel they can move on and Mitchell's ready to step on the field. So it's going to come back twofold, in my opinion, for the Chicago Bears.
Let the Bears' biggest problem be that they have two quality quarterbacks and they don't know who to start and what to do with one or the other. I think that there is nothing wrong with that. In a league where you can make a case there aren't enough starting quarterbacks for every team, if you have two of them, let that be an issue. Heading into 2018. Guys, it's official. The Bears making the announcement moments ago. They have signed the free agent defensive lineman Jay Howard to a one-year contract. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Your call's next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Just a few minutes ago, the Bears making the announcement official. They have signed former Kansas City defensive lineman Jay Howard to a one-year deal. He's coming off an injury, had a hip flexor last season, which cut his year short, but was very effective prior to that in 2015 when he had 5.5 sacks in 14 games. He's 6'1", 300-plus pounds, is excellent in terms of run defense and gives Vic Fangio's defense a lot of flexibility. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. A few quick number changes that the Bears have made. Marcus Wheaton, who had number 10, the new receiver that they signed from Pittsburgh, he's switching his uniform number. So he's now number 12 because Mitchell Trubisky will wear number 10 for his Bears career. It's the number he wore in college. The reason is that was his dad's high school football number, so he continues the tradition. And Kevin White making a uniform number switch. was wearing number 13. I think we'll all agree that was bad luck for him. So he's switching to number 11, which is the number of one of his favorite players, Larry Fitzgerald. And Fitzgerald has been an Iron Man in the National Football League. So hopefully it works out for Kevin White. Kendall Wright, the receiver they signed from Tennessee, will wear number 13, White's old number. Joshua Bellamy goes to number 15. And wide receiver Daniel Braverman moves from number 83 to number 18. So that gets you caught up to date on the Bears' numerical roster. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I know a lot of you have questions for Tom and Jim, so after the phones we go. Northside, John, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Jim, I want to ask you something. They had their quarterback last year in the fourth round, Dak Prescott, in their lap. And they passed on him. They had their stud quarterback this year, Deshaun Watson. They passed on him. Why would you pass on those two quarterbacks for a quarterback that only played 13 games and never really won anything? And you guys are always talking about if this, if that. You know, you're sugarcoating. You need to tell the Bear fans the exact truth. It was a bad draft. Everybody said it was a bad draft. He got played by Lynch, and that's it. I don't want to hear sugarcoating. If this, if that.
John, what if Mitchell Trubisky? What if Mitchell Trubisky ends up being the quarterback that the Bears haven't had? They've had 9 wins in the last 2 years, and part of the reason is because you've had so many different issues at the quarterback position. And if the general manager of the team feels that this guy is the answer, well, that's why he's the GM, to find that QB. That's the way I look at it, Jim.
Yeah, no, I look at it the same way. I mean, you know, what more can you say? You invested $127 million in Jay Cutler, okay, and paid him basically $54 million guaranteed. What is there any hardware? Is there any wins? Are there any playoffs? Are you know where the Bears moving on? Probably the farthest they went was the NFC Championship game when he broke his thumb or hurt his knee, I should say. In that game. That's what it's about. It's about winning games. They've won 9 games in 2 years. And until that position, the quarterback position, is settled, which it hasn't been, because they've gone through 5 offensive coordinators with the last quarterback, you're not going to win. So that position is paramount.
And it doesn't mean that the decision will work out. But I'm more conservative. I think all of us, except for Tom, but Jim, you and I were conservative heading into this draft. You know, take maybe the best defensive player on the board. Tom was the guy who kept talking about quarterback, and you can understand why, because clearly that's something that Ryan Pace agreed with. If you have conviction at that position,
well, you know, Zach, you hear the frustration in John's voice, but you know, there's a lot of other teams that passed on Dak Prescott. They weren't dangling him in front of only the Chicago Bears. The reason he went in the fourth round of the Dallas Cowboys, because there's 31 other teams that had an opportunity to pick him throughout those rounds. So I think it's kind of tough to hold the responsibility of not taking Dak Prescott on the Bears. And there was a lot of uncertainties about him when you do the evaluations that you do through scouts and every other avenue of evaluation. And, hey, like I was always a fan of Deshaun Watson, but we're going to have to see how things play out with him. I think it's pretty tough to anoint a quarterback a success right now that there's so much uncertainty about, and that's Dak Prescott and both Mitchell Trubisky. And then if you look at the Dallas scenario, Dak Prescott wouldn't have been the starter if Tony Romo stayed healthy. And they got themselves into a circumstances that they have the top offensive line in the league. They drafted a running back, Ezekiel Elliott, who had more a high number of carries. I don't know if he led the league in the amount of carries, but you know, there's a lot of things that went right for Dak Prescott to have a successful season. But I think as football fans, he's earned a lot of respect around the league. The kid is as one heck of a player in his rookie season. But, you know, I think there will be questions answered both for the Bears and other quarterbacks around the league in the future.
And I just want to add one thing, because I love when hindsight's 20/20. That is not true about Dak Prescott. He had 2 issues coming out of Mississippi State. He had a DUI a month prior to the draft. What team is going to say, this is the face of our franchise. We're taking him first round overall. Oh, but by the way, less than a month ago, he made a bad decision by driving drunk. Are you serious? Nobody, no team was going to take that. Now, hindsight is 20/20 because the risk reward for the Dallas Cowboys said they coached him in the Senior Bowl. They were with that young man every single day and had the ability to interview him and talk to him, and why they said they felt good about he'll be okay. He'll be fine. Let's take him in the fourth round. But
and,
think about that.
And
a starting quarterback got a DUI a month before the draft. No team was going to draft that young man in the first round.
And let's take a look at some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL today. There were a number of them that a lot of teams missed on. You know, Tom Brady's the best example, pick number 199. Aaron Rodgers is another one. He dropped all the way down to number 24 in the first round. If Seattle was so sure in regards to Russell Wilson, then they wouldn't have signed Matt Flynn that same offseason to a big money contract. And Dallas had no intention of starting Dak Prescott in 2016. It just so happened that not only Tony Romo, but the right backup Kellen Moore also got hurt. So sometimes you need a little bit of luck in order for those situations to transpire.
It's interesting. You want to know what Pete Carroll says about Russell Wilson? And same thing. He played terrible at the Senior Bowl all week. Granted, he had good tape at Wisconsin and all those things. But Pete Carroll interviewed that young man and said, you know, I just want to coach that guy. That's the type of player that I want to coach that loves football. That's why they drafted him. They didn't know what they were going to get in Russell Wilson. They had an idea, but Pete Carroll was intrigued and said, that's the type of player I want in my locker room and that I want to coach. And that was it.
And Ryan Pace talked about this the weekend after the draft. He made a point to say that his first two drafts, he tried to trade up and get a quarterback, but couldn't get a deal done with Tennessee. Felt he had to give up too much. Felt he had to give up too much last year, even though he liked Carson Wentz. He was in a position this year where he felt he didn't have to give up another future first-round pick in order to get his quarterback, so he pulled the trigger on the deal. Let's take a break. Your phone call's coming up next. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Earlier this hour, the Bears made it official, signing former Kansas City defensive lineman Jay Howard to a one-year deal. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. We're taking your phone calls. Out to the phones we go. Tim in Schaumburg, good evening. You're on Bears All Access.
For a different reason. I called to ask, and you tease it, but I called to ask Mr. Thayer and Mr. Miller, how do they feel about everyone in the entire country, sports writers, you know, people calling in radio shows, grading a draft, bad-mouthing a young kid that they moved up to get. And this town wanted a quarterback for how many years? Mr. Thayer said the stat earlier, that's sad, like 60 years. But no one knows what these kids that he drafted has done. But all I know is I got to give them a chance. And I want to know from former players, when you hear people calling up saying this is the worst move ever, and they haven't stepped out on the field, they'll give you the example of Dak Prescott. Well, guess what? You could say Richard Sherman was in the fifth round. Randall Cobb was in the fifth round. Where were you guys? There's always hit or misses in a draft, but no one has given these people a chance. And Ryan Pace, the quarterback position in all of sports, trust me, is the number one position.
Go ahead, Tom, if you want to respond
first.
Well,
you know what? I think Tim's making a good point. Is I think some of the people that go out and do draft evaluations as soon as it's over, the more criticism they give a team or the choices, the more credit they're given because, oh, yeah, they're willing to step outside the box and say what they – it's only what they think. They don't know. And, you know, if these guys knew so much about it, they would – you know, they would be in that position themselves. I just think Tim is right. You got to give these guys an opportunity. You got to put them in the professional atmosphere, and everything that they've accomplished up until this point, they do have to leave it behind them, because everything they're going to learn in this point moving forward, it's going to be against better competition. It's going to be more challenging mentally. They're still going to have to get physically more prepared in the weight room. So I'm with you, Tim. Just give these guys an opportunity, and if they fail and things don't work out, and then I think that's when you'll get your answers. But as a Bears fan, you know, we all have to hope for the best and hope these guys develop into the players that the Bears scouting department expects them to be.
Yeah, it's incomplete right now. We're not going to know for 3 years. That's why you can't grade any of these drafts. These players, Mitchell Trubisky has yet to throw one pass. How can you grade that? Or any other player for the Bears? Or even, you know, here I was reading in Monday Morning Quarterback with Peter King, you know, San Francisco. Oh, what a great draft. It's coming out. Reuben Foster needs another shoulder surgery. And he's our second first-round pick? That's a medical. I think he's a great player. But many teams passed on him, and that's why he fell to 31, because of the medical issue on Reuben Foster. But, you know, like you said, even if he sits out this entire year, if he comes back and is the player that they believe he's going to be, then that's how it'll grade out when it's all said and done. So it's way too early, to even grade any of these drafts. Did anybody think Cody Whitehair would be the starting center for the Chicago Bears the entire season? Nobody predicted that. And the guy did just fine. So,
and he should have been a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good draft pick by the Chicago Bears.
All right, back out to the phones we go before the end of the show here. Mike in Rockford. Mike, you are on Bears All Access.
Guys, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Here's my thing. I'm 54 years old. I've been a Bears fan my whole life. I'm going to go old school here, okay, guys? The Chicago, the 1985 Bears, let's look at that team the way it was built, okay? We had an awesome running, one of the best running backs to ever play the game. The best offensive line, defensive line, secondary, a core, a great wide receiver, definitely good tight ends. I mean, I'm not going to take the time to go through the whole roster, but we know it was a damn good team built around a damn good quarterback. But again, statistic, he was middle of the road. He was a tough as nails quarterback. Here's my thought, guys. 2 months ago when Ryan Pace, Scott Glennon, he sold everybody. This was our man. This is who we've been looking for. He's this, he's that. Okay. So I don't care about what they spent for 1 year deal on him, okay? That's fine. But the thing is, it's what he said. It's the principle of it. He had us sold. This is the guy he wanted. Now that opens up. They're picking third in the draft. They could have traded down. They need bodies. They could have filled this. They could have fixed the rest of their holes in their defense. They could have got their tight end. They could have got their secondary fixed. They could have got a wide receiver. Guys, I just think they took 5 steps back. It's not what they gave up for him. It's not, are these guys going to pan out? It's what they did. And they needed bodies. They got 5 picks. You look at the history of the Packers, they get 9, 10 picks every year.
I'm going to interject again. Didn't Philadelphia say that a year ago? They paid Sam Bradford. They paid him. Then they drafted Carson Wentz. And then they signed Chase Daniels to a $37 million deal. They traded away Mark Sanchez, then traded away Sam Bradford. It's the same thing.
Well, you know, Jim, too, it could be, you know, when you bring in Mike Glennon and you look at what they really are going to pay him, I think they wanted a quarterback different than Jay Cutler. And that was one of the things that was accomplished when they brought in Mike Glennon. And nobody in the NFL has a guarantee to anything for their career. So now they want to learn what a competitor Mike Glennon is, and hopefully he's going to emerge as a quality starting quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
And like Jim Miller said a ton, hopefully you don't have to play Mitchell Trubisky for a couple of years and allow him to sit and develop. And that's the best thing that can happen to the Chicago Bears is Mike Glennon upgrades the quarterback position more than what Jay Cutler has left behind him. And I know he's left here with some quality stats, but, you know, you look at the wins that were, attributed to the position.
Well, I know
Mike,
that... I know
Mike
that...
Glennon hasn't even played a 16-game season. We will find out about Mike Glennon.
Right.
Glennon. So he's the short term, Trubisky's the long term.
And we'll be able to accurately grade this draft when we do Bears All Access in 2020. Guys, it's been a pleasure. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying so long. You've been listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.